Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board and join us in the dialogue and discussion on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We're always delighted to have your call, your comment, your insights into the discussion of the day. We'll be asking the question today. Perhaps you already have the answer. Perhaps you have you're surprised that I'm asking the question. But we're on the eve of the most important election in, I believe, recent history. And I'm asking the question today, should Christians vote? Should Christians vote? You'd be surprised how many times I've heard that question, that comment, dialogue and discussion on it. But I want us to understand this will be the most important election. It's going to determine whether America survives as a constitutional republic or if we're going to delve into a third world banana republic, as so many nations are around the world. Multitudes of people today will vote. But there's some that will simply find an excuse not to vote. Some will say, it's not my duty to vote. It's not my responsibility to vote. I'll let those do so. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, perhaps one of the goofiest, if I can use that term, excuse, well, you know, I don't believe a Christian's supposed to get involved in politics. I don't believe a Christian's supposed to get involved in anything that's of the world, because after all, I'm a Christian. I'm saved, satisfied, sealed, and separate from the world, and I don't have to do anything to vote. Now, those are some of the things that I'd like to hear from you. What are you being told from the pulpit in your church? Have you had a discussion from your pastor in relationship to the need for you to be salt and light and vote? Have you had a discussion from any spiritual leader that you follow that suggests that it's your duty and responsibility as a Christian, a responsibility to the civil government, a responsibility to the community, a responsibility to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to vote? We're going to talk about that today. But let me remind you, as we face the issues each and every day on this broadcast, we do so based on the authority of the Scripture, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's the first, foremost, and final authority on what we should do, believe, think, and say as Christians. We ought not to be, as I would use the term, mamsy-pamsying around with our responsibility. We ought not to be saying, well, I don't know what to do. We've got a book of directions. It's called the Bible. I call it the truth book. It's the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said this: if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. And then Jesus says in John 14:6, I am truth. And further, there's the declaratory statement in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the word of God that endures forever, according to Psalms 117:2. We need to take a stand on truth today and not have the attitude and the mindset that we ought not to vote in any election. We need to render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and render unto God that which belongs to God. And ladies and gentlemen, if God has ordained government, then government is a slave to God. And as a slave to God, we need to hold the government responsible for being obedient to God and God's word. So don't try to shy away from a responsibility in saying that as a Christian we ought not to do so. I want to set the stage early on, very quickly today, that I believe Christians ought to vote. I believe that if I might be bold, I believe it's a sin for a Christian to be silent in an election process. Ladies and gentlemen, truth is what is rejected today. It was George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, that said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more we'll hate those who speak it. It is the truth that we need to stand on. And former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint made a powerful statement when he said, Jim DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. Former Senator Jim DeMint made this statement, and may I quote, truth is the core principle of Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation today. And here's something, ladies and gentlemen, that is frightening to me. A recent survey says most younger Americans say there is no absolute truth. Let me read that title again. Most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. This article goes on to say, in the research that was done, it says the polls showed that the majority of younger Americans simply do not believe in a single truth. They believe that each person defines his own personal truth. The results of the poll that was run says because 55% of Americans, 18 to 29 years of age, think that each person determines his own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be frightened with that, because right now the 18 to 35-year-old age group, that's what we call the millennials, they're taking more and more control of the educational system, the political system in general, the churches, the religious organizations in America, they're coming to the forefront as the leaders. And if out of that group, we find that there's a feeling that there's no such thing as truth, then we're in deep, 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 deep trouble in America, spiritually, religiously, politically, socially, and economically. So I believe that we need to be, and you'll hear me say this again during the course of this dialogue and discussion today on the question, should Christians vote? We need to be salt and light. Salt is not going to stop decay, but it'll slow it down. And we're watching the rapid decay of the morals, ethics, and the values in America, and we need to take a stand. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said this, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, learn the truth, defend the truth, even to death. And I believe that's what we ought to do today, is defend the truth. The truth of the Word of God. One of the ways, ladies and gentlemen, that we can defend the truth of the Word of God is Christians casting our ballot for morals and ethics and values at the polls when we vote. Don't you dare say that I'm going to just shrink back. Don't you dare say that I'm going to be silent. Don't you dare say that I don't have a responsibility for God and man to cast a vote. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power generation equipment. Tools for Time's knowledgeable staff can answer all of your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right here in the heart of Mandarin. There's a good benchmark, 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, and the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, 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 there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing its entire staff to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's Word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with me, as we do each and every Friday, we've got Pastor Glenn Davis that's with us today. Pastor Davis hails from up in beautiful South Georgia,
Amen.
Folkestone
Amen.
Area. Pastor Davis, glad to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. And truly, again, I thank God for being able to be here on Fridays.
Amen.
You know, to discuss the Word of God and to get the Word out there amen, to the people of God, amen. I want to say good morning to my bride of 36 years, amen, and a special shout out, amen, to the workers at 121 Financial Credit Union on Normandy Boulevard, amen. I stopped by there the other day, and they treated the country boy mighty nice.
That's good.
And I told them, if you listen in on today, we'll give you a shout.
That's right. Amen.
So continue to listen to us, amen, and be encouraged by the thing that we are trying to get out to you on today, because it's very important.
By the way, tell them I don't charge one dime for it, but we bank with them also. And I'm thankful for the kindness and the hospitality they show as you deal with them and work with them in business. And so, Pastor Davis, we have a very important subject. You and I have talked about this before in relationship to the need for Christians to cast the ballot, for Christians to vote. But we're told that, in fact, it was David Barton with Wall Builders said that in the 2020 election, that over 40 million Christians did not vote.
My, my.
And now Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel, Roger Ganim, one of his attorneys in that organizational group, recently spoke in a conference that I was in, and Roger said that the best they could estimate that some 25 million Christians will not vote this election cycle. I don't know about anybody listening, but I think it's a stench in the nostrils of God for any Christian to say, I'm not going to vote. And maybe you're listening to me today and you perhaps have not even registered to vote. If I can say this in a loving, kind way, shame on you. If we're going to be salt and light, we need to register to vote and vote. By the way, about to forget it. A telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're listening by way of the Internet, it's 904-831-0917. We'd love to have you pick up that telephone and dial that number, 831-0917. The telephone call goes right through to the studios, right to our microphones, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue. So I want to ask you a question. I'm listening, asking our audience today, Pastor Davis, I want you to call in and tell me, should Christians vote? If you think no, tell me why. If you think yes, tell me what's important about it. If you say yes, Christians ought to vote, what is the biblical principle, the biblical premise, the biblical foundation that causes you to think that Christians ought to vote? Or if you think they ought not to, and you say you're saved, what is the biblical principle? What is the biblical, theological, doctrinal absolute that you're basing that determination and decision on? And I realize that they're cross denominational lines. There's a hodgepodge of thinking there. And I'm just casting all of that aside. We're peeling the onion and simply saying, go back to what the Word of God says, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. Pastor Davis, when we get to heaven, there won't be a cubicle left for Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian,
amen,
Assemblies of,
amen,
God, Church of God, et cetera, et cetera. We'll be there because we've said yes to Jesus Christ, or we won't be there at all.
Amen.
So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to you as a Christian, not as a denominational person. We don't face issues based on denominational dogma. We do not try to face. We do not face the issues based on some philosophical rhetoric from a political party, but based on the authority of the Scripture. And I believe if we take that particular stand, we'd be far ahead of the game, as I would call it, Pastor Davis. We're directed in Scripture to pray for the leaders over us. I want to start with that verse, Pastor Davis. Read 1 Timothy chapter 2. Read verse 1 and 2, because we want to set the stage as to where I believe that we need to focus in this dialogue and discussion today on Let's Face the Issues.
Amen.
Should Christians vote? Read that for us, Pastor Davis, and then we're going to talk about it.
Amen. This is what Paul said to Timothy. He said in 1 Timothy 2 and 1, I exhort, therefore, and that's a warning, amen, encouragement, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men.
Mm-hmm.
Can I put it in the young blood vernacular?
Yes.
Republican and Democrat.
Republican and Democrat.
Everyone,
yeah.
Independence.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
When he said all men, that doesn't exclude anyone.
What does it say then in verse 2?
Amen. So he said, for kings, mm-hmm, and for all that are in authority,
mm-hmm, yes,
that we, that's talking about Christians,
yes,
believers,
yes,
all men in general, uh-huh, may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty.
Yes. Pastor Davis, I have looked at that text. Here's the prerequisite, the precursor, the priority. It says, first of all, that is the little word protos, priority, in the Greek text. It's protos. It is the priority thing that we pray for those. I call it, in the Youngblood vernacular, as you related to, I call it, we need to pray for the presidents, the prime ministers, the princes, and the potentates that's in charge.
Amen.
In the political arena. If we need to pray for them, ladies and gentlemen, we need to put feet on those prayers, and we need to vote to make sure that we hold them accountable for what God will have them to do. If government, and Romans chapter 13, we'll look at it later in this broadcast, Romans chapter 13, the first seven verses, is a very, very, very clear that government is a slave servant to God, that God ordained, appointed, put civil government into position be a slave servant to God.
Amen.
And Pastor Davis, if the government is not being a slave servant to God, it can go back to the fact we're not praying for those slave servants of God, the leaders.
Amen.
And as we pray for them, we need to put feet on our prayers and vote to take some out of office and vote to put some in office.
Amen. Amen. I'm so glad that you said that, Dr. Youngblood, because my thoughts were already going in that direction as you began to speak those words. Because maybe some Christians, believers, don't understand that God had it right the first time.
Yes.
Because government, as he ordained it, he delegated authority into the hands of the elders in the city to enforce the rule of law from his word upon the citizens in society.
Yes.
Because the elders sat in the gates of the city, mm-hmm. and they had meetings. Of course, they prayed first and got instructions from God, and then they had their meetings, and then they were delegated authority to certain groups, because when we go back to what Moses' father-in-law told him, he said, you can't handle the job by yourself.
That's right.
You need some help, so you need to get rulers of 50s, rulers of 10s, and he broke it down and told him mm-hmm. how to delegate authority to other people that would help him enforce the government in society.
And in that text, you're referring to Exodus chapter 18, verse 21 in particular. It's on the left page, left column, the last verse on that column in my Bible. May
Amen.
Not be in other Bibles that way. But literally it says, seek out among you and find the men that reverence God, honor God,
Amen.
Men that are capable, trustworthy men. Men that are not covetous. They're not going into office for being grasping and greedy, wanting dollars. In other words, if you put it in the vernacular for today, we need to seek out those and place them in positions of leadership that are men that are honorable men, men that trust God, men that will reverence God, men that have the capabilities, men that are not covetous, and place them in the position of leadership. But the key to it, ladies and gentlemen, in that Exodus chapter 18, verse 21 text, I call it God's voting guide, God's election guide. It is putting men there, first of all, that are trustworthy, that are capable, that are honest. But the key there in that 21st verse, that reverence God,
Amen.
That honor
Amen.
God.
Amen.
And one of the things, Pastor Davis, I find that we've done in America, we've filled the positions locally, statewide, and nationally with multitudes that are atheists, that are agnostics, that do not love God, do not recognize God, and will do anything to persecute, to prosecute, and to prevent Christians from doing what God's called us to do in the civil society that we're living in.
Amen. So just to add a little bit more right there,
ahead.
Dr. Yes. Let's make sure we got the groundwork laid very good so there shouldn't be no confusion after we get finished with
That's
what we're doing
Absolutely.
Today to help believers make the right choice. Because here, this is another thing I want to add in there. Christians are supposed to set the bar for society.
Yes.
Okay. So what God expects for us to do, because he's delegated that same authority to us, you see, we should be running for office, so there's no separation of church and state.
None.
Like some people think.
Right.
Because the rules that govern the state came from God.
Absolutely.
It came from the word of God.
Absolutely.
So he put it in the hands, or he put his people in charge of executing the law in society before there was ever a Washington, D.C., or Republican or Democratic Party.
Absolutely. And when you go back to the fundamental foundation of America, you'll find that the overwhelming majority of our founding fathers in drafting our founding documents were graduates of or had attended Bible colleges and seminaries, Christian religious schools of that day.
Amen.
And you will find that they had the focus of placing God first, and placing God first and foremost made the determination on other things that's in our Constitution and thus in our Bill of Rights. And that first thing is the freedom of religion is found in there. because our founding fathers, with a heart for God, came out of a system where religion was forced upon the people and not the freedom of religious thought and religious beliefs.
Amen. Now, just to add to that, Dr. Youngblood, only in a heathen society were the law not executed properly. Mm-hmm. Why? Because they didn't reverence God.
That's right. And you find that today.
Amen.
In countries where Jesus Christ is not proclaimed, where he is not dominant, where the leadership are simply thugs that's enforcing that on the people. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, ponder for a moment. How many nations around the globe do not have the Bill of Rights, do not have the constitutional liberties that we have, and the thugs go into office, and the people have no choice. The people are repressed. The people are put under the thumb of the thug that's in charge, and there's no possibility of removing them. But yet in America, we have that removal capability by the vote at the ballot box. At the vote, every vote counts. But ladies and gentlemen, a no vote. If you say, no, I'm not going to vote, that's what I'm talking about, I'm not calling it a no vote, or a vote for any candidate that stands for the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, or any candidate that stands for the woke cancel culture, or any candidate that embraces the so-called right for murder by way of abortion, is simply unbiblical, unholy, ungodly, and ought not to be.
Amen. Amen. And Dr. Youngblood, I don't see how a believer can be comfortable casting a vote for a person that's on a platform that doesn't represent the word of God.
That's right.
There's no way. I mean, myself, I mean, don't get me wrong. Before I came into the knowledge, because Paul said, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I spoke as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things.
Right.
So then we ought to not continue to stumble around in the dark, mm-hmm, and say that, and just use the plain excuse that we don't know, or we shouldn't be coaxed into standing for something that we don't understand simply because great-grandmother and great-grandfather was a faithful Democrat, and I ought to continue to do the same.
Yeah, well, let me jump in with that, and perhaps I've touched on this before on this broadcast. Go back 50, 60 years. The moral ethical foundation was still pretty much in attack. And even with the Democrats, for example, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, he said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. The warp and woof of society was woven around an authority in the scripture. Now, I'm not saying that he was a marvelous Christian. That's not the point that I'm making.
Amen. Amen.
But the point that I'm making, there's a vast difference in the woke cancel culture, socialist, Marxist, BLM, communist party called the Democrats today, and what you found 40, 50 years ago.
Amen.
Vast difference.
Amen.
And I know back in Georgia, which is my basic background as yours, there were men in charge as governors of Georgia back in the 40s and 50s that were men that loved the Lord, men that had a foundation, men that had morals and ethics and values.
Amen.
That yet called themselves Democrats. In that era, you didn't have to worry about one believing in murder by way of abortion, didn't have to worry about one that called himself a Democrat standing for transgenderism, didn't have to worry about our kids being taught pornography in school and sexualizing our kids and grooming our kids and bringing them into the moral, ethical slime pit. That didn't happen then. But in the past 30, 40 years, it's been progressively increasing, and we've gotten to the crescendo today that lest we as Christians stand up, speak up, be heard at the ballot box with our vote, we're going to see the crumbling, the demoralization, and the total deprivation that will come about for the Christians as a result of not being salt and light in the society
Amen.
In which we're living in.
Amen.
There's a need to vote.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the question today, should Christians vote? Should Christians vote? Love to hear from you. 831-0917 is the telephone number, 831-0917. Dial that number, pick up your phone, call your friends, relatives, neighbors, acquaintances, and even your enemies, and suggest that they tune in and listen to this broadcast today. It's imperative that we understand what's on the table as a result of the vote in this midterm election that we're faced with now. The vote is needed and necessary from every conservative, from every Christian, from every moral, ethical person, from every patriot. And if we do not vote now, this is my most humble opinion, Pastor, if we don't vote now, if we lose this election now, from the standpoint of the moral, ethical values that we so much need in America, if we lose this vote, we've lost America. In fact, I'm looking at an article that I believe summarizes it. I'll not read the entire five-page article, but just simply to set the stage, Pastor. It says, what's truly at stake in Tuesday's do-or-die election? Number one, polls show a majority of voters, regardless of their politics, skin color, or life circumstances, may simply want to correct crop or demented, power-obsessed, woke, lunatic politicians and put them out. And they intend to vote that way. That's good news. But the bad news is, quote, Democrats, with the help of virtually all Americans' most powerful institutions, such as big tech, big media, big government itself, are intent on stealing this election by any means possible, this writer says. Today's Democratic Party is the truest sense possessed. That is, the political thoughts and leaders have been completely taken over by a kind of dark spiritual psychological forces that readily capture the minds of corrupted human beings who have turned their backs on God and God's laws in their lives. We're talking about the exact same forces of madness that have animated history's most destructive cult-like political movement, most obviously communism and Marxism, which has been masticizing throughout the world for the past century. And now it has its sights on America. Further, this article states, that's our current reality. Thus, these leaders daily attack hardworking, law-abiding, Bible-believing Christians as violent extremists. In fact, Pastor, let me just digress for a moment. Through the Department of Justice with Merrick Garland and through his direction to the FBI, if we stand for truth, if we confront moral, ethical declension in our public schools, if we stand for the fact that the 2020 election was stolen, if we say anything about the question and about the COVID-19 vaccination and challenge the efficacy and the ethical standing of that, then we're considered domestic terrorists today in America. And that's as a result of the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Communist Party that's in charge. We're called conspiracy theorists. We're called domestic terrorists. We're called violent extremists. We're called insurrectionists. Their note, this article says, are nothing more than colorful slideshows intended to distract the voters from focusing on the real problem. Today's leaders, despite their noble talk, are single-mindedly consumed with perpetrating and increasing their own power, their own wealth, their own privilege, their own fame, their own supposed moral superiority, and revenge on all of their enemies. In other words, they're bent on being gods over us. This article further states, the most common rationales of non-voting Christians. Their particular church denomination tells them that you're citizens of heaven and not a part of the world, and therefore you don't need to vote. Some that will say in your churches, they're so upset by the government corruption that they feel contaminated just reading and hearing about anything about politics. Or the third potential, they believe that God will determine who leads America without our help at all. Number four, they believe that church and state should be separate. Or number five, they believe that their focus should be on the gospel only, not politics. And finally, perhaps underlying all of these reasons is they've given up on hope on ever coming out of Washington, regardless of who's elected, end quote. So, ladies and gentlemen, this writer that I'm quoting you on the air today gave six reasons that multitudes do not vote today. And most of the time, it's on the basis that I'm a Christian. I just supposed to tell people about Jesus. I'm not going to talk anything about politics. It's weak, wicked, evil, and dirty. Ladies and gentlemen, that is simply not the position that we need to take. Christians need to be involved in the political arena. We need to take a stand for truth and vote what the Bible says as our vote for godliness and morality. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. We've got about 1 minute for the top of the hour news, and we'll be right back. Don't turn your dials as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.